Uzziah and what God is doing. And this was in 1 Peter. And it goes like this. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaking the words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We can see here what God desires for his people, for us, to love one another. It's my daughter here this morning. Good morning, CJ and Kendall. Good to see y'all. Yes. But he desires for us to be family, to be friends, to be his children, to love one another, to encourage one another. And I think we all can do a better job at that. We can be more conscious of it. Here in the church, we can take the time to learn each other's names, you know, get a little information on each other, you know, be ready to share a hand when someone needs a hand. When younger folk are in the church just getting started, help them overcome things. Help them, you know, grow in their faith, you know. Be the kind of open-hearted, kind-hearted people that can be approached, that people can come to, you know, and that you can be good for one another as a family should be, correct? So we can see off that God, this is what God desires for us, okay? Now, I decided to title this message today, Stick to the Plan. Stick to God's plan, okay? We find in God's plan down through history, which is his story, especially for the Christians. History is us finding out what God have done, what God is doing, and what God will do. It's his story, okay? Now, in the beginning, there's something I want everybody to remember. I would admonish you to remember. But Paul used a word that's probably a little more powerful or significant than that. He used the word beseech. That's almost to the point of begging. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice. So I'm going to use that word beseech today here. The first thing, I want to beseech you to stick to the plan. The last thing I want you to do is stick to the plan, okay? And the greatest thing that I want you to do is to stick to the plan, okay? Amen? Amen? Amen. Number two, I want you to know and never forget that life, creation, and all that there is was God's idea. Amen? Amen. God doing this. God began this. God will complete this. It's all God's idea. And three, remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. Mighty. Okay? They're not guns. They're not knives. They're not sticks. They're not stones. But they are spiritual weapons. And they are mighty. And probably one of the greatest ones of our weapons, if not the greatest, is prayer. Prayer is a weapon. It is a privilege. And prayer is a right. You see, God beckons us to come to the throne of grace boldly. As a matter of fact, he tore the veil from top to bottom that we don't need nobody between him and I. We don't need an intercessor for us. He's the great intercessor, okay? We don't need a high priest. He said we can come to the throne of grace anytime, boldly, to obtain mercy and to find grace for help in our times of need, in our daily lives, as we go down the road, as we follow God's plan. You see, prayer is how we stay connected. Prayer is how we stay in relationship. Prayer is how we remember what God is doing in the world today, in your life today, what he's bringing you through. Prayer reminds you of what you have overcome. It's how you go to somewhere. If God's taking you somewhere, you can realize that and get direction for that through prayer. And the last E, it calls us to remember God's great faithfulness. God have always been faithful. As you pray, you realize what God have done and what God will do. You grow stronger in your faith. You grow stronger in your beliefs. And you can see. The more you see, the more you will see how faithful God is. Okay? Now, what I want to do, brothers and sisters, is kind of throw a wide net here. I want to draw in some pictures, some events, and some monuments that will cause us to remember, cause us to see kind of like what's going on in God's heart and mind. We can see the heart of God, we can see the plans of God, and we can see the faithfulness of God through some things that we're going to draw together here today. Okay? You see, he has called us, well, God, first of all, he said, a servant or a slave, I have not made known my plans. But God have called us friends and called us family. For he said, I've made our plans known to you. Down through the years, through the scriptures, God is plainly laying out his plans. And you can see where he's coming from and where he's going by reading of his word, the Logos, okay? Now, we're going to go back, all the way back to pre-flood times, to beginners, okay? I want to show you something in the scriptures back during creation. And I want you to make a note of this because it'll be significant later on in this message, okay? This part of creation that we're reading here now. Let's go to Genesis 1:6. Clarence, can you get it on the screen for us? Genesis 1:6-10. Let's read. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that was above the firmament. Okay? And it was so. And God called the firmament heavens, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. Okay? Now, the water down here on the earth that he gathered together, he called the seas. But the water above, he didn't give it a name. But he made it plainly clear that there's waters above. Amen? Now, the term above, we're gonna talk about that a little bit so we can get some understanding here. If we're on top of the earth, above is up here. If you're on the bottom of the earth, the above is down here. Vice versa, if you're on the side, above is out there. So what above really means is all the way around. Water all the way around this earth, and that same thing he's saying when he says above, okay? Keep that in your mind. It's going to prove to be effective, okay, later in the message, all right? All All right. Let me get that covered. The water's there. This also will be significant, brothers and sisters, when we explain life on earth prior to the flood. Okay? Now, we want to move on down the road here to Genesis 3:7. Genesis 3:7. We're going to take a look at something there. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed leaves together and made themselves coverings. They knew they were naked. This happened after the fall. This happened after they had ate from that tree, correct? See, that before that, they didn't know evil. They didn't know anything about evil. They only knew good. But you know the devil was about to do something when he took them off track. The reason they got off track, because of what? They didn't follow the plan, right? They turned from the plan, went their own way. It always caused a problem, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stick to the plan, okay? They were naked before, and it didn't matter. Didn't bother them one bit, right? We see our pets every day naked. Don't bother us. And it don't bother them, right? Correct? All day long. But because of that filth, because of that perversity that came from the knowledge of evil, that's what caused the problem. Being undressed wasn't the problem. The problem was that evil that God told them not to even go around, not to even get close to, good and evil. Now they got to deal between the two of them. Now they got to choose between the two, right? Didn't have to do that before. Now, because of sin, we go, oh, right? They didn't go, oh, at first, right? Right? It's the evil. That's right. Right? I heard the Lord walk, and this is Genesis 3:8. Let me get ahead of myself. Genesis 3:8, let's read that. Let's continue on with that. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Now, they never hid themselves before, so you know something wrong right there, see? You know the relationship is broken right there because they ran and hid. Now, I don't know how long Adam and Eve walked in the garden with perfect communion with God prior to that fall. The Bible don't really tell us, right? And it was in perfect communion prior to this. But one thing I do know is it obviously was for quite a while. Obviously, they walked quite a while with God in this perfect harmony. Obviously, because you think Adam and Eve, they had time to name all of the birds of the air, all of the beasts and the creeping things upon the earth, all the creatures in the sea, and they had time to subdue and have dominion over God's creation. So they walked in harmony with God for quite some time. Okay? And another thing I want you to note here, because we are not told how often God walked through the garden with Adam and Eve. But we don't have any reason to believe that it wasn't every day and even many times a day, right? To commune with Adam and Eve, to instruct Adam and Eve, to visit with them, and to love them, his special creation, man, male and female, he created them. After his likeness, he created them. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, man, body, soul, and spirit. Triune. Why did he do this? Why did he create man? for fellowship. He wanted to fellowship with man. He wanted to love man. He wanted to have a relationship between him and man. Nothing between them. Nothing broken. He wanted to have an open-hearted conversation. Be there for whatever they need, whenever they need it. This is the kind of relationship he wanted with man, his prize, creation. Okay? He wanted them to be his people, and he wanted to be their God. Okay? We're going to see now, we're going to take a look at some things through the scriptures here, through his story, so we can get an insight to the insight of God, right? And his greatest desire. We're going to find out what God, one of God's greatest desires is, probably the greatest desire that he had during the time. We're going to Leviticus 26, 12. See, because the Bible says it. I ain't saying it, right? I'm agreeing with the Bible. Yeah. Leviticus 26, 12. This is God. This is God's heart. He said, I will walk among you, be your God, and you shall be my people. One other, go another scripture. Jeremiah 7:23. Jeremiah 7:23. This reads, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. See, both of these scriptures using the term walk. You notice that? See, God also says a scripture that says, how can two walk together unless they agree? You got to be in agreement to walk with your brothers and your sisters, okay? Very significant. It's just, you brush right across it, but it's very important. We need to walk with God. Walk with God in communion, okay? And then look at one more. Deuteronomy 14, 2. Deuteronomy 14, 2 said, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of this earth. That's pretty important to God, isn't it? That's been God's heart all along. And sin broke all that up back then, right? Adam and Eve, when he disobeyed God, didn't follow God's plan, went his own way, he brought upon sin upon the whole world. It's a very tragic time, very tragic situation. Okay. Now we're going to move on. See, we found out that this is God's desire, right? This being God's desire, he instituted a plan to still end up having a people that would choose to be his people, a people that would choose for him to be their God. We're going to see this playing right on out through scriptures, all the way to Revelation, okay? So Genesis 3, 14 through 16, let's look at that. Genesis 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Because he tricked the woman, correct? Yeah. And between her seed and your seed, he, the woman's seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, we know that to be Jesus, right? The seed of the woman, but not a seed of man here on earth. Your father from above. But Significant thing here is he did come through woman, through the birth canal of woman, okay? Now, 16. This is his judgment that he pronounced unto Eve. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This is Eve's lot, okay? He also pronounced judgment over Adam, but we're not going into that because it's not very significant for what we're speaking of today. One thing I can tell you, though, for the judgment of Adam, that's why we got to work the rest of our life. No more free lunches. We work by sweat of our brow, okay? In the Garden of Eden, it was easy. Adam, you got to go to work now, boy. That's right. And we all have to do that. See, that's what our lot is because of what Adam did. When I get to heaven, I think I'm going to kick him in the knees. Amen. Amen. But listen now. After this, God pronounced judgment on the three of these guys, these characters here. And see, Adam and Eve was created in eternity. They were to live forever, but God didn't want that. God put them out of the garden so they wouldn't live forever separated from him and his love, okay? So he put them out of the garden, and now they're in time. That's when time began, okay? So God's plan, we see right here, was to repopulate the earth to get his people, right? But see, he made Adam from the ground, and he pulled a rib from Adam and fashioned woman. What he actually did, Adam was born male and female, complete. He removed female from the male. He took female out of Adam. Now that they can have communion together, she can be a separate entity. So God decided to come from now on. He's gonna bring people another, you know, he's not going to create them all over again. But he's going to bring through the birth canal a woman. The only way man now have a right to be here on earth and have a right to have a body is to come through the birth canal a woman. That is it. That's why Jesus came that way. Jesus came that way to identify with us, that he could take our place in death, that he could redeem us, going through the same thing we go through, suffering the same pain that we suffer, being tempted like we are. It qualifies him to identify with us to the point of dying for us. He died and paid a cost that he didn't owe, a cost that we owed but could not pay. That's God's plan. Perfect, isn't it? Only God come up with that, right? Let's stick to God's plan. What you say? What say you? Amen? Now, the word of God, which is the Bible, that's the Logos word of God, don't cover everything that happened between Adam getting kicked out of the garden and the flood. But it does cover a great deal. And I picked out four things here that it does cover in depth to talk about to show us God's plan is still rolling on, okay? First is the lineage from Adam all the way to the end of the flood. From Adam all the way to the end, to the beginning of the flood. Second, the condition of man's heart back in that day. And pretty extensively talk about Noah. See, Noah and his sons worked on that ark, a long time. Over 75 years, right there, 80 years, worked on that ark. And Noah preached about the coming judgment of God every day to that generation. That's a lot of days. 365 days to a year. For 80 years, nor preached. And he built that state-of-the-art ship. He prepared for all those creatures to be taken care of through this time. And not less, but probably more greater, Noah influenced his whole family to be saved. We know today that's pretty difficult. Influenced his whole family to be saved. Now, for the reason man lived so long in that day, and primarily the same reason man's heart was so hard and rebellious and on evil continually in that day, was twofold, but it was around the same event, the flood, okay? So those four things here we're going to shine some light on, okay? First one is the lineage from Adam all the way across the flood. First thing I'm going to tell you about this lineage is it's somewhat boring and monotonous. You try to read that, it's a long list of who begat who, and this one begat that one, and this one begat that one, and you can get kind of sleepy if you're not careful, right? But, you know, I made up my mind that I was going to go through that whole line, and many others have. And once I started going through this lineage, I found God's grace right in the middle of it, how he eased things up for me, you know? See, it began with Noah begat so-and-so, and Noah begat so-and-so, and to come to the next significant committed person in God's lineage and God's story, and then it would say Noah was 300 years old when he begat so-and-so. And Noah lived 500 more years and begat sons and daughters. Then it would pick up with this significant figure, and it would go on. You know, he begat and he begat, and he was like so many years old when he begat this individual, and he lived 300 more years. I don't like that. So you're able to do some calculation when you get that. And you know what I found out? The lives of three men covered the whole span from Noah to the flood. Three men's lives covered the whole, you know, they lived to be 900 years old back then. Quite something, wasn't it? Noah, Methuselah, and Adam covered that whole span. 900-something years old, it's a long time. You know, but Methuselah, I think, was the older than any of them. He's like 980-something years old. But the significance in that is I have no problem believing that the word of God, the intent of God, made it from Noah, from Adam all the way to Noah, intact and without compromise. Because those three men walked together. So like it said, Noah, Adam walked with Methuselah like 200 years, and Methuselah walked with Noah 100 and some years. That's enough time for them to carry that message across and drive it home, right? But what convinces me is the faith that Noah had, the commitment that Noah had, the way Noah stuck to it. He preached this destruction coming for 80 years. And stayed on the case building that ark, him and his son, for 80 years, and got his whole family saved. I have no problem believing that Noah was following the plan. He was sticking to the plan. That word came all the way across, intact and without compromise. God's plan, huh? Amen. History, God's story, okay? Amen. Noah stuck to it. B, the second thing it covers in great depth is the evil of man, evilness of man's heart. It said man's heart was on evil continuously, only. And let's go to Genesis 6:5 to see about that, see, shine some light on that. Genesis 6:5. Y'all bear with me for searching through these scriptures here, but there we go. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man. Yeah, he even repented God. God was sorry that he made man. Yes, it was terrible. But I want to remind you, all this is because of the evil. That evil that they got into around that tree. They didn't follow God's plan. That's why man was so evil. He went his own way. Matter of fact, Isaiah speaks to this condition from the other side of the flood. Isaiah 53:6. You don't have to turn there, but if you got it, you can turn to it. You're going to see that. Let's look at it. Isaiah 53:6. This is what happens. Isaiah speaking to it. Isaiah said, all of we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's why man's heart was so hard. He turned to his own devices. Turned away from the plan of God and went their own way. See, I see evidence of this in the world today. You know, and we shouldn't be angry and hard-hearted at them. We should love them and pray for them. Because you see it. Obviously, they're not following God's plan. They're going their own way, right? You see these young folk with all these signs and protesting and yes, anger, man, to the point of violence. You know, wanting the rights to kill their own babies. We see what God's doing, you know, with bringing people on, bringing birth through the birth canal of a woman. He had a plan for this. Now, people have gotten to this point, obviously, it's not following the plan of God. They've gotten off the plan of God, and they're worried about their own desires. They turn to their own ways. If they turn back to the plan of God, I think it would do something about the situation. Not only that, but the killing and the stealing that's going on. We can't love each other the way God wants to love each other. If he's killing and stealing and plotting and planning against each other, he's obviously not following God's plan, right? He's obviously not following God's plan. I said, we all, even today, we look at them and see the mistakes they made, but we're still making them today because we're not following God's plan, right? Now, I said that Noah accomplished all these things. But the truth of the matter is, God accomplished all these things. But Noah had to stay committed. He had to stay faithful in order for God to do all these things through him. God works with his people that they call on his name and follow his plan. Okay? But you see now, what we find that we all need to stick to the plan of God. All. Because man don't know what man don't know. You see, man didn't know that the earth was round back then. He didn't know that it was going to rain. It never had rained before. Never. God used to send a mist up from the ground, and that mist would water the earth. The reason it didn't rain is because of that big water surrounding this earth that had us in a perfect environment. They had us in like a hothouse, a garden. Like people can raise tomatoes all year round now. Because they house them in a place where they can grow, they can flourish, because the harmful cold and things like that don't interfere with them, right? Now, this is going to change, okay? Remember I told you about that ball? They had the water all around the outside of it? Okay, when God's judgment fell and it was leveled upon the earth, that water came in that was above. It rained in. More like poured in for 40 days and for 40 nights. That water came in on the earth. But let me tell you something. One water only. Once that water came in, the cold, the heat, the wind, the storm, the harmful sun rays, all this and on came in on the earth because of God's judgment. And the results? Hard-hearted, sinful man was destroyed. And man don't live to be 900 years old no more. No one after the flood lived to be 900 years old anymore because the environment changed. And when God realized that we got to do something about this, and he said you're going to make a new heaven and a new earth, correct? Because we're going to get back in eternity one day. Okay? But let's not be too quick to judge, like, you know, because man don't know what man don't know. Like, they didn't know that the earth was round. They didn't know it was going to rain. So just like them, we need to desperately stick to God's plan today. Because even today, man still don't know what man don't know. Okay? Amen? Amen? Amen. But what I do know, ladies and gentlemen, if we want to be God's people and want him to be our God, we need to stick to the plan. Amen? Amen. We need to stick to the plan. There are things that's going to be going on that we don't know about, but we need to trust God. See, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Amen. I'm hoping I'm showing something about God's plan, God's desires, God's love through going through these scriptures with you. When we meet again, when we come back again, get to speak again, we're going to continue on the next side, on the other side of the flood. You can find out that God spoke to Noah a few times on this side of the flood, telling them when to get out the boat, how to get the animals back on land, and how to get started again. But he didn't say anything significant until a young man named Abraham came along. And God picked up his plan, and it rolled on. We'll get back into that next time, okay? And we'll see God's plan continuing on. And he's trustworthy, and he's faithful, brothers and sisters. We can believe, we can trust in God's plan. Amen? Amen. Amen.